And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. It's good to be back with you. I'm back in San Antonio, Texas, after a long stint overseas for about a month, 2 weeks. I was in Israel, Jordan, and then from there went to Hungary. I taught the Bible, the books of Daniel and Ezekiel at the Bible Institute and Word of Life Hungary in Tolmács, just outside of Budapest. What a great experience that was, working with the young people, being a part of their lives, and greatly received. You know, it's nice to know that you can still relate to young people, and they relate to you, and you have a relationship. You can talk with them, spend a lot of time with them. I like doing that. And we really had a great time of communicating with these students, 60 students from 15 different countries of the world. Looking forward to someday seeing a lot of these people and men and women involved in ministry wherever they go, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you all to who that helped us get there to do that. That is so very important, and through your prayers and through your giving, helping us to get there to teach the Word of God. And I really like the aspect of going there and teaching the students that are going to go and take it to their respective areas of the world where they live, where they come from: Brazil, Czech Republic, Slovenia, Slovakia, Romania, Poland, the United States, Canada, Hungary. I mean, there were so many that were there. And they're going to take that back. And I've established a relationship with these folks. Should the Lord tarry, I hope to see these folks in ministry in the days to come. And that's my prayer for them, and helping them understand Bible prophecies. It's such a relevant part of our lives and God's Word. Over 30% of it, of the very way that God speaks to us through His Word, pertains to future events. What's going to take place? If it's that important to God, how much more important should it be to us? And then when I got back, it was a struggle to get back into the land here and into the land in Israel. I'm not in Israel. I'm in San Antonio. It's to some people, they consider it the promised land here in Texas, but it's not. Getting back home for about a day and a half, and then going out to a conference in California, Redding, California, at the Shasta Bible College conference called the Alpha Omega Conference. And Dr. David Nicholas out there puts this on. He's been doing this for about 12 years. And it's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, creation. And there were several doctors, scientists that were there from Answers in Genesis and ICR, Institute of Creation Research. And these men are so brilliant. Oh, and they showed how the body works and carbon dating and all of these things, and creation is a literal 6-day, 24-hour period of time that it took for the creation of the earth, and God created it, and they lay it all out. When you look at some of these aspects of how our bodies work, it really is, when you look at just the eye itself and how it processes and how it works in our bodies, our ears, our skin, our brains, our hearts, all those things. When you look at that, it really is hard to believe in evolution, or that we simply evolved over millions of years. There's no way that it could have happened. We had to have a creator that created our bodies to work exactly as they do. That's a miracle every day, you know, when we see people walking around, when we see life, when we see someone give birth to a baby. That is a miracle of God that these beings are created. And to think that we evolved is so, I enjoyed being there. It was great. And there were a lot of people at the conference that enjoyed being a part of understanding creation and these men teaching it. And then, of course, Omega, the end, Bible prophecy. And I was the only Bible prophecy teacher there this year out of all these creation guys. But people are so very, as much as they are interested in creation, and we should be. By the way, when I think about that creation, I was just thinking about that verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, where it says, in the last days, men will become willfully ignorant about creation. And I mean, really, too, and I know that this has been going on and this has been permeating our schools and our lives and everything you watch on TV. You almost have to sit there with your kids and say, now, kids, it wasn't billions of years, you know, it wasn't millions of years, and we didn't evolve, but we're indoctrinated because they don't know how to explain it. And I think about that verse, men will become willfully ignorant. I like the way Dad says it, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, my father, he says, they will become dumb on purpose. And that is so true. I mean, you have to be dumb on purpose to realize that there is not a creator of the world. And you really do have to become dumb on purpose to think that there wasn't a master creator that created us and our bodies. I love being there with these guys, and it was a great time. I taught Bible prophecy, and really we were looking at some of the events. And it's so simple, helping people to understand. And if you listen to our program or you follow our ministry, there are four major trends of Bible prophecy that we keep our eyes on, and that really helps us to understand Bible prophecy. And I think the most important part is helping people to study Bible prophecy. And that was my emphasis there with these folks, to teach them that, listen, we will tell you always. I mean, if you hear Dad tell it, you hear me say it. We are not the prophecy gurus. We have just studied God's word, and it's all there for us to understand. We just really need to study it. And we had a great time out there. Maybe I'll have him on next week, a gentleman that was out there with us who has memorized 15 books of the Bible, Tom Meyer. And he has a ministry. It's called The Word Sower. He and his wife go out, but really it's him. And he's memorized. We've known him since Israel. He worked with us some in Israel. And we've spent a lot of time there together. He's a professor out there at the Bible College in Shasta Bible College. And Tom does a great job of giving by memory 15 books of the Bible, important books of the Bible, and he acts them out as he gives them. And you just don't realize that in a few moments, he's gone through a whole book. He's gone through many chapters and by acting it out. And I love his ministry, and we're going to have him on, and he can talk to us. He's going to tell us how he uses some of the techniques for memorizing these large portions of the book and of the Bible. Interesting that, you know, you put that word inside of us. You put it in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And it's so that is so true. God's word in our lives really helps us to keep the darkness of this world, or the darkness of sin, outside of our lives. If we have that light inside us, where there's light, there's no darkness. Where there's no light, there is darkness. And we're going to talk to Tom in the coming week about how the techniques that he uses for memorization. Well, this is a Prophecy Q&A program, and I did have a session out there. I'm trying to get that session, because that was a great session of Q&A that we did out there at Shasta Bible College, along with myself and another one of the resident professors there, Dr. George Gunn, and then a lot of the Institute of Creation Research, Answers in Genesis, these scientists that were there with us answering questions. I think you'll find that very interesting. I like that. We're going to try to get that next week. But this is a Q&A program. We do have some questions to get to, so let's get to some of those that have been sent in and you've been waiting patiently. We've tried to get to some of them over our travel time and period. We had some great Q&A sessions on the Sea of Galilee, although we had background noise, which some thought it was a little hard to understand what was going on. But we were on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, we were right literally on it. We were outside at our hotel, right there on the patio, and sitting mere feet from the Sea of Galilee. Ah, beautiful. At night, looking across, and you could see the lights on the Golan Heights. Oh, well, I've talked enough about Israel in the past. We want you to come with us, and we have another trip coming up in the fall. You can go to our website and take a look at that. So let's get to some of our questions that have come in. This one comes in. We have a question that comes in from Honey Riaz. She says, "Hi, I've been watching your videos on YouTube and read articles also. I have a few questions. I would really appreciate it if you could please answer. If I have to know the timeline of the end times, could you please write me about it? If I have to tell someone about the end times like a story, how would it unfold? After the rapture of the church, when does Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38, the events of the book of Daniel happen? Do they occur in the first half of the tribulation? Are they all the same wars? I would like to share what I have understood so far from the videos, articles, and studying the word." Well, Ms. Riaz, it looks like you have done a lot of work because you have a lot of information there. But let me just remind you that the book of Revelation is a timeline, the book that's given for the Christians. Daniel is a time for the Gentiles, what's going to take place and how that all unfolds. Ezekiel, the book for the Jewish people, the judgment on the Jews for the first 33 chapters, and then from chapter 33 on till chapter 48, you have the restoration of the Jewish people and the restoration of the kingdom practices, or the practices for the temple that will be taking place during that 1,000-year period of time. So let me unfold for you. We do have a walkthrough that we do in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to unfold that for you. And then as you listen to this, you can take the notes that you sent me and we'll see if we can line them up. But the book of Revelation, the book that is given to Christians so that they might understand the time in which we're living, we see the person and power of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1. We get a description of who he is and his person and his power, what he does. I believe the most important verse in the Bible, Revelation 1:18, is there. "I am he that was alive, dead, and now live again. And I hold the keys to death." I believe that that's a key verse in the Bible, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be doing this program. So that, to me, Revelation 1:18, a key verse in the Bible. And we get a vision of the person and power of Jesus Christ. The program is going to start and be laid out for us in outline form in chapter 1. Let me share our walk through the book of Revelation. Let me tell you how this book unfolds. The book of Revelation presents Jesus Christ in three areas: his person, his power, and his program. In chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, we see Jesus Christ in his person and his power. In chapters 2 and 3, we see Jesus Christ writing a letter to seven churches that were alive when John wrote the book in 95 AD, seven churches that have been alive throughout church history, and seven churches that are alive today. In chapter 4, we see the rapture of the church. Jesus Christ shouts, the archangel shouts, the trump of God sounds, and we are caught up to be with him in the air. In chapter 5, there's a great choir of angels singing, "Worthy is the Lamb," Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, to be exact. And chapters 4 and 5, we get a glimpse of the throne room of heaven and who's going to be there. It's a church. I believe that's when the judgment seat of Christ takes place. And we get a sense when Jesus Christ receives that sealed scroll. We are singing his praises. One of the responsibilities that the privileges that we'll have for all of eternity is singing the praises of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 6, there is the beginning of three sets of seven judgments. There are seven sealed judgments, seven trumpet judgments, and seven vial judgments. In the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the seven sealed judgments will take place. Also, in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, there will be two witnesses that will preach, and 144,000 male virgin Jews will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. At the end of these first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, these two witnesses will be killed. They will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, at which time they will be miraculously raised from the dead, and they will enter heaven. Also, at the end of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, there will be a battle in heaven between the angel Michael, commander-in-chief of the good angels, and Satan and his evil angels. And Satan will be thrown out of heaven, never to enter heaven again. They will be cast upon the earth. They will intensify their persecution with an endeavor to destroy all the Jewish people across the earth. In the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the 7 trumpet and 7 vial judgments will take place, culminating with the kings coming out of the east to join the Antichrist to fight the battle of Armageddon. At that point, we Christians who will be in heaven, having been raptured up in 7 years before this event, the next event, the second coming of Christ, we'll get on white horses along with Jesus Christ. This is Revelation 19:11, and we will come back with him back to the Mount of Olives in the city of Jerusalem. At that point, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Christians will rule and reign with Jesus Christ during that same 1,000-year period of time. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be loose for a season, and he will be captured again by God and thrown into the lake of fire. Also, at the end of this millennial kingdom, there will be the great white throne judgment, at which time Jesus Christ will be the judge. He will sentence those who have rejected him into the lake of fire, which is the second death. After that eternity future, new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. And this is how the book of Revelation unfolds chronologically. So, Ms. Riaz, let's take a look at what you have sent to me and your understanding of what takes place. The first half of the trib, 7 seals are open. That's true. So the Antichrist probably comes from Europe. That is exactly true. And we get that from the first seal that's open in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is the Antichrist that comes, and this man on a white horse with a crown. Coming, carrying a bow with no arrows. He comes in peace. This is a false peace. This is what the Antichrist will do. We know that he comes from the revived Roman Empire, from the book of Daniel. We first see about the Antichrist, the little horn, as he's referred to in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 9, we know that he comes from the people that destroy the temple in the city of Jerusalem. Of course, we know that that happened in 70 A.D., General Titus and the Roman 10th Legion. So this is why that we say that the Antichrist, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, comes out of the Gentile world. He will come out of what was the Roman Empire, and is the revived Roman Empire. And we know that he comes from the people that destroyed the temple. So that's why we say he comes from Rome. He confirms a peace treaty. That's right, Daniel 9:27. He confirms a peace treaty, goes to Israel. He becomes the Jewish people accept the Antichrist as the Messiah, so to speak. Now, I know that there are a lot of people out there, and I've had somebody came up this last week in Redding, California, and saying, "Hey, what about Islam?" And there are people that are saying that the Antichrist comes out of the Islamic world. Well, the Islamic world will be wiped out within the first 3 months of the tribulation period. We'll get to that. But these particular verses that I just gave you, Daniel chapter 7, a little horn coming out of the Roman Empire, and then Daniel chapter 9, talking about the exact people that the Antichrist, the little prince, this prince will come from, and the prince that shall come. Referring to the Antichrist. So we have to be very careful. We have to make sure that we study Scripture. I don't care who you are, as far as a ministry leader, somebody that has been very well respected. I always encourage people to go back to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. And then you say he confirms a peace treaty with Israel. That is true, Daniel 9:27. That's what, by the way, begins that seven-year period, of that last 70th week of Daniel, that last seven-year period of time. And then the war of Syria and Egypt, as described in the book of Daniel. Well, that will be the first two nations that will come against Israel, Syria and Egypt. And the Antichrist, his role is to protect the Jewish people. That's when I believe also Ezekiel 38, those nations that are mentioned there, Russia, and the personality of Gog, which I think is Vladimir Putin, as we are watching the Russian, the great, the mighty Russian nation, state, country come back to prominence after it fell as the Soviet Union, and communism fell. Now Russia is coming back, and Vladimir Putin is leading this comeback. He wants the world to know, and he's branching out and moving out and really conquering, going to conquer lands again, expanding the borders of Russia, and wanting all the world to see how big they're becoming. And by doing this, he's really flexing his muscle in the Mideast. And we see this personality of this person of Russia will be a part of the alignment of nations in Ezekiel 38, along with Persia, which is modern-day Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. We've seen Kush or Put or Libya. Kush would be Ethiopia, Somalia, and Sudan. All these nations, Meshach, Gomer, Tubal, and Tagarma, that's modern-day Turkey. Very well, we see a relationship building between Russia and Turkey. And the common denominator in all of these countries, Ms. Riaz, is that they're Islamic. And I believe that this is, on the when you look at the book of Revelation, that second seal that's broken open, that's the seal of the unleashing of a man on a red horse, which represents war. This is the war that I think that is going to take place in the first 3 months of the tribulation period. We get the indication of the timeline. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 11 talks about when this alignment of nations, this battle will take place. By the way, you couple in with the nations of Psalm 83 and into this, which would be the Ishmaelites from Saudi Arabia. Which would be the Hagarenes. That's, again, the Persians. There are many people that are mentioned in Psalm 83. All of these nations coming against Israel, according to Ezekiel 38, verse 11, when they are living at peace, when they're living in unwalled villages. That's a military term pertaining to when that, you know, this village or nation or these group of people are living at peace. They don't need protection. They don't need that walled village. It also says they don't need bars nor gates. They're living in safety. There's only one time that they will be living in safety, and that will be during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, why do I say that this battle takes place? Well, because it says later on in Ezekiel 38 that they will be burning the weapons of this war for 7 years. And I believe for 7 years, that 7-year period of the tribulation, they will be burning these weapons. Again, the common denominator, that they are Islamic, and they will be wiped out. Now, let's see. Let's continue with Ms. Riaz's timeline, as she asks. And I think this is important because it also helps me to help her, but you can benefit from listening to us talk about this. Let's see. And then the war of Syria and Egypt, as described in the book of Daniel. And during these events, in the backdrop, Revelation 17, the false religion has started. Exactly. I believe the false religion starts before the 7-year period of tribulation. I believe that the very first thing that he does, according to Revelation 17, when he's unveiled, is the Antichrist goes to Rome, establishes his headquarters, establishes the false church. And again, you know, we're talking about, does it happen after the tribulation period start or before? I don't know that the scripture gives us clear indication as to when the establishment of the false church, but we do know when the 7-year period of time starts is when the Antichrist confirms that peace agreement with Israel. And so his headquarters will be in Rome, according to Revelation 17. He will establish the false church, and the false prophet will be brought into the scenario. Syria and Egypt are defeated, along with those nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and Psalm 83. The Dome of the Rock is probably destroyed in this war. That's an interesting concept. You know, a lot of people always ask me, how are they going to get rid of the Dome of the Rock? Well, we don't know that, and I don't know that it will be destroyed in that war. It very well could be an earthquake that allows the Dome of the Rock to be destroyed. We do know that the temple needs to be standing there and needs to be built. I've always said that it's the Antichrist that allows the Jews to rebuild this temple in the city of Jerusalem, that's the hook in the jaw that brings the Islamic, all these Islamic nations against Israel. Remember, the Dome of the Rock is the third most holiest site in all of Islam. It's the number one holy site to the Jewish people. It's the most controversial site, religious site in the world. And maybe it is that war that comes and takes place, although we don't see, we don't get an indication of the destruction of Jerusalem. And of course, there would have to be some sort of attack on Jerusalem that would destroy the Dome of the Rock. But in any case, whether it's an earthquake, an act of God, or war, or something destroys that, the temple will be rebuilt in the city of Jerusalem, and it will be there standing so that at the midway point of the tribulation, the Antichrist can go in and desecrate that. We do know that the two witnesses will be preaching for the first 3.5 years from the Temple Mount. And now that I know that they're not going to be preaching when the Muslims have control of the Dome of the Rock from the Temple Mount. But according to Revelation chapter 11, we know that the two witnesses will be preaching from the temple for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So that's a key point to keep in mind, that these two witnesses will be preaching there from the Temple Mount, as the temple has started to be rebuilt. The rebuilding process has begun, and these two witnesses will be preaching. During this time, you say, Ms. Riaz says, during all this time, the first half of the trip, the two witnesses are evangelizing, and because of their witness, 144,000 Jews begin to evangelize too. Yes, that's Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14. The Antichrist goes to Egypt for the plunder. He hears of the Ezekiel 38, Psalm 83 coalition of the nations. The war happens, and basically the whole chunk of the Muslim world is defeated. Well, I agree with you on that. And I believe that the Antichrist goes against Egypt and Syria to protect, and then it's God that really protects Israel from these alignment of nations. That's Ezekiel 38, last half of the chapter, and Ezekiel 39, when all of Islam, or these nations, the common denominator of these nations being that they're Islamic, will come against Israel and be wiped out. The false religion is accepted because of the signs and wonders of the false prophet, killing people who refuse to accept this false religion. Well, that's true. I believe it. That's true. That's Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14, where the Antichrist is using signs, wonders, and miracles, and the false prophet to draw the people of the world to them, to Jerusalem, and all that they do. The Antichrist will be wounded, as if he's mortally wounded, the false prophet. The Antichrist will be raised from the dead. So all of this takes place in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The second half of the trib, according to you, Ms. Riaz, in your notes to me, and we're just kind of reading through and helping Ms. Honey Riaz in her notes, and then helping you also as we talk through this. So the second half of the trib is the seven trumpets and seven vials. I'm kind of split on, I think the, I know a lot of people put the trumpets and the second half. I kind of split those. I think part of the seven trumpets will be in the first half of the tribulation period, and then the second half, the seven trumpets will take place. The last two or three of the seven trumpets, and then the seven vial judgments, which is a great tribulation. Midway point, 3.5 years of the tribulation, this Antichrist goes to the temple, ceases the sacrifices, and desecrates by setting up the abomination of desolation. Of course, Jesus Christ talked about that. Daniel talked about it. Paul talked about it. And John reveals that to us in his word. And you're correct on that. He ceases the sacrifices and desecrates and wants to start the false religion. Well, I think he's already started the false religion. Remember Revelation 17, when he establishes his headquarters in the city of Rome, and that's when he establishes the false church, which I believe at the very least, the Catholic Church will be the infrastructure for that. And not just the Catholic Church. I believe that there are many false religions around the world that will be a part of that, that will join up. And we see that today. We see the beginning of this, and we talk about that in our weekend programs. We see these religions starting to come together and work together. And that's why we're very careful about describing and really wanting to adhere to the basic fundamentals of the faith. That is so very important, because now we're starting to see a mixture of these religions that come together and churches that have been strong in the faith for years are now starting to reach out to churches that we believe that are not strong in the faith, that probably people that go to these churches are not saved. Don't even know what salvation is. There's another gospel that they preach. There's another way to heaven. Well, this is setting up the scene for the one world church and for those people that are deceived. Again, deception being the number one sign that we are living in the end times. So as the last half of the tribulation period unfolds, we see the great tribulation as it unfolds, the rest of the seven trumpet and the seven vial judgments that come on the earth. The Antichrist leaves Rome, and it's at this point that he goes to Jerusalem. He establishes and sets up, walks onto the temple, proclaims to be God. And from there, he goes and sets up his headquarters in the city of Babylon, literal Babylon, at the midway point. That's when he institutes the mark of the beast. And then we see the rest of the judgments unfold. We see the Antichrist turn his back on the Jewish people, who he has been protecting for the first 3.5 years, and then goes and turns his back on them, wipes out half of Jerusalem, two-thirds of the Jewish people, according to Zechariah chapter 13, one-third flee to the wilderness for protection. Jesus talked about that in the Olivet Discourse as leading up to the time of when he would return to the earth at the end of that seven-year period of time. So the Antichrist his wrath is unbelievable. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, they have intensified. I believe that they know that they only have a short amount of time to wipe out the Jewish people, defeat God, plus all of those people that have not received the mark of the beast or become a part of the false church. And the Antichrist has his fury and his wrath against those people during the tribulation period that become believers in Jesus as the Messiah, both Jew and Gentile, during that time period. Again, the only people that can accept Christ during the tribulation period are those people that have never heard the gospel and rejected it, rejected the love of the truth before the rapture of the church. And that's according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. So, Ms. Riaz, getting back to your initial, I hope this has helped you. We've talked about the Jewish people fleeing to the wilderness. I believe they do flee to Petra. I believe that the Antichrist establishes his headquarters in the city of Babylon, which is in modern-day Iraq. I believe that's literal Babylon. According to Revelation 18, Babylon will be destroyed. Babylon has never been destroyed. The Babylonian Empire was destroyed, but the city of Babylon has never been destroyed. I believe it will come back to prominence, and that will be where the Antichrist... Interesting, the Antichrist will have his headquarters there. That's where in Genesis chapter 11, where we see Nimrod establish the first kingdom, the first mother-son cult in the city of Babel. It's the same place, Babel and Babylon, same location. And interesting how the Antichrist, who was part of that satanic trinity with Satan, and the false prophet will be doing Satan's evil deeds and trying to fulfill Satan's desire to be higher than God, according to Ezekiel 28 and according to Isaiah chapter 14. So here we're seeing all of this take place. Michael, the archangel, will protect the Jewish people in the wilderness. And you ask about when does the fight take place in the heavens. I believe that takes place at the midway point of the tribulation period, where Satan is cast out of the heavenlies, never to enter the heavenlies again. I know eventually Jesus steps, this is in your notes to me, you're asking a question. I know eventually Jesus steps in with the church, and the Old Testament saints come along too. They'll be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period. The judgment of the church happens right after the rapture. That's right. When is the judgment of the Old Testament saints and martyrs? Is it at the great white throne too? No, the judgment of the Old Testament saints and the tribulation martyrs takes place at the end of the seven-year period of time. That's Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. They'll receive their judgment, and they will be ushered into and be with us during that 1,000-year millennial period when Jesus Christ will rule and reign in the city of Jerusalem as part of that Davidic covenant that a descendant of King David would rule and reign. That's 2 Samuel chapter 7. Also, book of Ezekiel 34, 35 talk about King David, the prince. They'll call him the prince then, will rule with King with Jesus Christ and that millennial kingdom, that thousand-year period of time, designed for the Jewish people. We as the bride of Christ will be there along with the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints, those that were martyred, and those that live, the judgment of those that live through the tribulation period. It's Matthew chapter 25, the judgment of the sheep and the goats, and the judgment of the Jewish people, which is the five wise and five foolish virgins depiction. That's Matthew chapter 25. That judgment takes place at the end of the tribulation period, and those that are the sheep, those that were the wise virgins, will be ushered in with living bodies. They don't have their they don't have a glorified body. They will be ushered into the millennial kingdom, where they will be able to live, to have more children, and then we'll see as Jesus Christ enters and sits on his throne in the city of Jerusalem. He then opens up a temple that is described in the book of Ezekiel, which is for the Jewish people, and the Jewish people will be performing all the responsibilities. The priest will be there, the high priest. They'll be doing sacrifices again. All of this will be taking place in the city of Jerusalem, and the earth will begin to grow again. It will become like a utopia, paleogenesia, as Christ says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, the regeneration, Genesis again of the earth for 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ receiving his kingdom, first talked about in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, when his kingdom will come and destroy the times of the Gentiles, the Gentile world powers, put an end of iniquity, according to Daniel chapter 9, the end of sins, and bring in everlasting righteousness and anoint the most holy place, and that location being in the city of Jerusalem. Anyway, thank you, Miss Honey Riaz, for sending in this. This has basically been our questions for this week. Hopefully this will help you. Hopefully it will help others. We really appreciate the opportunity to be a part of answering your questions and being a part of studying God's Word. And I encourage you all, study God's Word so that you will be, and this is what Honey Riaz has done. She has studied and watched and listened to and gone along with God's Word. Any questions that she might have, she goes to another source, and we have tried to help her by giving her the biblical references and scripture to back up what we believe. And that's all that we are asked to do, to humble ourselves as Daniel did. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, he humbled himself in the sight of the Lord. He chastened his heart, and he set his heart to understand the things. And that's very important in our lives, not only to study these things, but then to realize that why are these things here? Well, so that we know the end time events and how they're going to unfold and how close that we are and the urgency of the hour to motivate us to live a pure, productive, holy life, to be out there doing these things, not to get encumbered with the things of this earth and the things of this world, what Satan always tries to do, especially with Christians. Out there in California at this conference I was at, there were a lot of senior saints, I would call them, that were a part, and they were still active in their churches. And I encourage everyone, be involved in your church. Senior saints, be that wise person for those that are in the church that are younger than you. We need that. Oh, please. I'm asking. I'm begging. We need that wisdom that that you provide in the body of believers, and that that cautionary as churches are walking away from those real standards of the faith, some of the things that are so very important to teach in the lives of believers, and they're walking away from that, and they're teaching an easy believism. Sometimes they're not even talking about that the way to salvation is through God sending his son to die for us on the cross. And by dying for us on Calvary's cross, he took away our sins. And that is the only way. When Christ was put into the grave for 3 days and 3 days and nights later, he rose from the grave, having victory over death. That's how he defeated death and Satan, and took upon all of us, took upon himself our sins, and died on the cross. That's the way that God provided for us to have a restored relationship with him now. That's the only way. There are a lot of people out there that are going away from that and teaching alternative routes to heaven. Wow. I mean, and even that hell's not a real place. I understand what's happening. Sometimes I say I don't understand why they are doing it. Certainly Satan is misleading them. And as you study God's word, this will help you to understand where we are in God's timeline, why we should be dedicated, committed to serving the Lord and all that we're doing. Well, thank you for listening to us this week and following along with us. Next week, I hope to have the audio from our session out there, our Q&A session out at the Alpha Omega Conference. Man, you're going to be blown away by these creation guys. Hey, as I follow what's happening in the world, as Dad and I are involved in ministry, keeping our eyes on current events as they're happening, examining those current events in the light of God's word, we are living in the last moments. In fact, every conference meeting that I had out there, I started out by telling people, I don't think that we're going to make it through this meeting because we are so close to the rapture of the church. And I'll tell you that. I don't think we're going to make it through this radio program because we are so close to the rapture of the church. How then should we live? Let's keep looking up until...